Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but get it on. There's Dr. Drew. There's me. There's you. There's your questions. We got your answers. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for spreading the good word.
The gospel.
With a friend. That's
Carolla
right.
The gospel.
Well, some Pinsky in there as well.
You know, gospel, the good word, that's what that, good news is what gospel means.
Good. Oh, yeah.
It's the good news.
I miss that. I miss, it's weird because I'm an atheist and I've never believed in God at all. And I've not even, you know, but I'm fine. I talk to my kids and, you know, I talk to my daughter and she's telling me Father's Day is coming up. And then she'll be like, Anna doesn't have a father, you know, and I'll go, what's wrong? It's usually these conversations are usually the conversations I have are, oh, well, You want Katy Perry as your mom, Natalia? Is that what you want? Yeah, I want Katy Perry as my mom. All right, so, but then how can you have two mommies? What about mommy? How are you going to have two mommies? Mommy's going to have to leave. Dakota has two mommies. Like, you're like, oh, shit.
That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. Like, oh, she literally goes to school with five kids that have two mommies.
That's interesting.
The Katy Perry double mommy argument.
That's
no
good. That's interesting.
That's not good.
It's bad for you. It's just interesting. It's interesting.
Look, everything, we consider everything as progress. I don't consider everything as progress.
I understand.
I don't care lesbian couples, gay couples, doesn't matter to me. This notion that we need to start a dialogue. Like with everything all the time, no matter how young you are,
right.
that I'm not interested in.
Oh, absolutely not.
This thing is like, your kid is never too young to have a dialogue about transgendered people.
Here's the dialogue.
Yes, there is.
No. Here's the dialogue. Do you have any questions about this? Does this make sense to you? That's the dialogue.
That's not even that dialogue. It's go watch Wizard of Oz. Eventually, all the shit'll in due time.
Well, what I was going to say...
You'll find out by hook or by crook, you'll find out about all of it.
Speaking of the Wizard of Oz, in due time.
My pretties.
What's interesting to me is all that which I... Your kids are going through a time when I remember my kids. I was so pleased that they were sort of colorblind. They were like, ethnicity didn't matter. They would describe kids. That's the kid with the kind of dark hair and the... See, a little darker skin.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't care.
But age 12, it all changes. All of a sudden, oh, no, man.
Yeah, now they literally just go the brown kid
or the kid
Chinese or something.
No, they won't Chinese. Say Chinese. They won't.
No, they'll say they don't have a color for that. They'll go, he looks Chinese. I don't know why Chinese is the catch-all Asian.
Because a lot of them.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were kids.
Yeah.
Someone make pee-pee in my tea or whatever it is. Like, it was always Chinese, Chinaman, ching, ching, chong. I think it was commercials, and there's like cartoons and things like that, ancient Chinese secret.
Mark Young, the guy I wrote the book with, he's Chinese.
I don't trust him,
Well, he was saying that was deeply offensive to him when he was a kid, all that kind of stuff, and there's a lot of that going on. And it hurt his feelings,
Deeply offensive.
It hurt his feelings.
What is deeply offensive? I've never been deeply offended.
Hurt his feelings.
I understand. You know, look, here's what people don't understand. Kids make fun of other kids, for the most part.
Hold a second. Kids made fun of you? Chris Ray? No. No way.
Well, I was deeply offended when I was being physically assaulted.
You mean when he put shit in your ear? That was offensive to you?
He didn't put it there.
He slapped it.
Yes. He injected it into my brain, man. No, here's what I'm saying. You can be, look, we have, over here, look over here. Right, right. We have Husky and we have Asian something over here through the glass, right?
Something.
Asian something. We don't know what he is. He doesn't know. We don't want to know. We don't ask questions. The point is this.
Oh, my God.
He will get his deeply offensive, me make pee-pee in your tea, or whatever the whatever deeply offended Mark. By the way, remind me to make fun of him for being deeply offended.
When you see him or just after this?
When I see him.
Okay.
So he'll be deeply offended by that. But if he didn't get the Asian thing, they would move on to his next trait. Now
they would do something to offend, to hurt him. The
Matt,
kid would
Matt's
going to
get Husky. Yeah. I'm going to get Brillo Head and Bucktooth. Yeah. It's not like you have a choice between Asian and nothing, or whatever your ethnicity is in nothing. You get
abuse.
Yes. If you're Asian and you're fat, I mean, what are the chances? But if you are Asian and you're fat, you're going to get fat before Asian. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I agree. No, fat is the most ostracized.
You get fat ass first. If you're, I would say, abnormally short and Asian, you'll probably get short stuff, half pint, whatever it is, sawed off before Asian.
Right.
So everybody, or most everybody, look, we can all agree that there's, the guys who go on to play Thor in their early 20s in the comic book movies will probably get left alone. There's, my buddy Ray.
Those may be the guys doing the bullying.
Well, maybe. Look, my buddy Ray was a physical specimen, but he just got called Neanderthal and, dopey. And, he got called what he got called. And he would beat you up, but he got called what he got called. Everybody got called what they got called.
Something.
Something.
Well, is that all males? The girls don't do that.
They do it in a quieter, even more.
They save it up till they're 12. Then they unleash it.
They work how corrosion and rust works. We're more car accidents. They're more termites. You know what I mean? Like, we work like when a pipe bursts in a house and the thing's immediately ruined. They work. They're slow and insidious. But before you know it, there's millions of dollars worth of damage.
It's funny. I don't know if I can recreate this, but I listen to lectures all the time. And I was listening to one where this woman was talking about role model, sexual male-female role modeling and stuff.
Important.
And they're going, look, listen to this interaction between these two young girls. Kindergarten, preschool-age kids.
Preschool, yes.
They're in a playhouse fighting over, two girls, fighting over a pickle.
Metaphor? Or?
Well, you don't have Dr. Freud to figure
right,
out.
Right, I
mean, fiercely in a battle over a pickle.
Pickle wars.
And it went down to, this is how they were abused one another. Well, you take the pickle, you don't get to come to my birthday party.
Wow.
That was their go-to.
Mm.
You out of my birthday party.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting. And the woman missed all the nuance completely. She then made no comment about the nuance.
Well, or you mean the symbolism?
Again, if you don't have to be Fellini to kind of talk about the interesting sort of things going on here. I mean, they weren't fighting over a jump rope. They're jumping over, this is what they decided to fight over. And the boys, and there were boys standing around.
Jump rope would be your lower bowel. Just trying to figure out. Freud-Leany should be the ultimate, inference.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
So what I'm saying is I don't condone, although I don't really care, about people making fun of anyone's anything, because it just is. It's just kind of a part of growing up. I'll put it to you this way, Drew. Mm. We think this is such a scourge that you make fun of someone's sexual proclivity or ethnicity. Meanwhile, like I said, you're going to get called. It'll be your sexual proclivity. It'll be your ethnicity, or it'll be your size, your fat, your teeth.
So what is that?
You're poor.
So what do you think that? What do you think?
Hillbilly.
Why do humans do that before they develop their frontal lobe? What's happening?
Well, let me first just say they do.
Yeah.
And most things that we do, I'm not a huge fan of watching somebody pick their nose, but I'm sure there's a reason why we pick our noses. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't like it. We examine our bowel movements when we're done. I'm not saying get a jeweler's loop out like Fondelier does over here and actually light the bathroom. But I'm saying you have a bowel movement and you look down upon it. Do you not, Drew?
I not so much anymore, but you used to.
That's how we're wired. Now,
yeah.
Is that a lovely trait?
Looked down upon it.
I
sounds so
I lord
so
over
regal.
It.
Yes, it sounds very.
I created you, and now I shall destroy you. And I hit the plunger, and it goes off to
Gallows.
Davy Jones.
Oh
locker.
Yeah, sure.
Davy Jones toilet. No, what I'm saying is, there are plenty of things we do as human beings. Male and female, young, old, different stages in life, that I'm not attracted to. I don't even like thinking about people doing certain things. But I understand it happens, and since everyone does it universally, or it seems to be universal in every culture and every whatever, then it is. And the fact that we try to stomp it out is not going to work.
Well, now hold on. Now, I don't know. It's not going to work completely, but it still is not a bad idea to try to contain some of that stuff. There's all kinds of shit that we would do as humans that we need to kind of stomp down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but
this may be one of them things.
I'll give you an extreme. So first off, like I said, they'll either bully you on
I still want to know why
on your biggest trait.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever your number one trait is.
Why? And, why do we do that? What's the evolutionary advantage then? Why do kids naturally do that?
I can tell you that I would rather my son, especially, and daughter to some degree, grow up in an environment where that happened, not to an extreme, but where that was present, like it was for our childhood.
Why?
And everyone else.
Why?
Versus a vacuum.
Why?
Because I believe it creates a resiliency.
Okay.
First off, there's some truth to it. If somebody keeps calling you Brillo head, hey, it's time to bust out the conditioner. You know what I mean? Like some of this stuff
has to do.
If you keep getting called fat ass,
it's time to change.
Maybe it's time to put down the cupcakes and do a couple chin-ups. So some of this is kind of on you, mono brow. Maybe it's time to get the tweezers out. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But might it leave permanent effects, though, that are not so desirable?
I think if you are a weak-willed or weak-minded person, there's no way calling, you know, first off, Mark Young's a professor at USC and heads up a department of
counting.
Accounting.
Or sort of that kind of thing.
Right. So how severely scarred was he
right.
by whatever he was called
right.
when he was going to prep school? Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Long-lasting?
Yeah.
Now, let me explain, I mean, medically, what long-lasting effects are. Bad car accident, you walking with a permanent limp. Not car accident, not fender bender, and you complaining about it for 30 years.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a fender bender that you keep looking back on, and you go, remember when my bumper was all screwed up back in 79? And you're like, man, that person had no business.
But it is a little bit of the fender being bent into the tire, and it's kind of making a noise there and bugging us. It's a little bit of that.
I don't know. I got this shit kicked out of me by Ray and Chris. And
according to Chris, Ray, it fucked you up. They were like, oh, he was such a nice boy before we got a hold of him.
Well, I used to be nice.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're not a genius. Oh, shit.
I just dumped this coffee.
Chris, help me.
Clean up
aisle nine.
Drew Hat. Oh, I wish your phone would have shorted out.
It would have been nice.
This beautiful console I made.
It looks like I vomited.
It does look like – it looks like a cat vomited, not you. What do you got in your coffee?
That's steamed soy. Isn't that nice?
What?
I deserve
– Jesus, fuck. Steamed soy.
More towels.
That's Maxipatis' gay porn name.
More towels?
Steam
soy.
Steam soy. He used to do Filipino porn. They got a whole different thing going on. No, you're knocking over again.
You're right.
Jesus. Goddamn Christ. Listen, Drew, sit down. Let Gary handle it.
Right.
All right.
Jesus Christ. What a fucking mess.
Steam soy.
I haven't heard that name in years.
A little tear dripping down his eye.
That's what you get. All right. Steam. All right. I'm going to move my mug away
Please,
from you.
Please. I'm going to flop.
Okay.
I'm going to flipper it.
Now, I used to be nice. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. And so it affected you. Now, maybe we wouldn't have the great
not,
Adam Carolla. We wouldn't
not,
have this empire.
It did not
if
affect
were
me. It did not affect me. I was nice many, many, many years after those guys beat the shit out of me.
You were nice. Well, then what fucked you up? Your parents.
No.
Which truly is really what where the rubber hits the road, let's be fair.
No. I'm not fucked up.
Oh? You're nice?
I am nice.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I'm generally...
Gary, listen carefully.
Nice.
Chris, listen.
When I don't get nice is when, as I've spoken about many times, when I have to repeat myself to people over and over again who I try to count on to take care of things because I'm super busy and they're ruining my, or at least deteriorating or taking away from my way of life and ability to provide and my ability to be. I've realized that I have we all have a relatively short period of time on this planet. We're good.
Thank you, Gary.
And that I'm trying to get X amount of projects done in this period of time.
Yep.
And provide as well.
Provide for your family.
Yeah. And everything. What happens to me, and when I stop being nice, is when I explain to people, you know, here's how it's going to go, and this is what I need, and then somewhere around the third time, that's when I stop being nice. That's how I am. I'm nice on the road. I'll give you the go ahead, you first. And I'm very, I never take cuts. It's all about me. Get out of my way. I mean, I'll give it to you this way, Drew.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way.
All right.
Dig. You tell me, not you personally, but you tell me how this works. I go around the country. I go to, back in the day, I do theaters now, but I would go to clubs, get guarantees, and go do shows.
Right.
And, for instance, Houston, did, I don't know, 4 or 5 shows there, had like a $20,000 guarantee. The Houston club was in a scary, scary part of town. It's not there anymore. It was on its last legs. People were scared to go there because there had been some violence and things like that. And I drew okay, but not that well. And at the end of the 4 to 3 days or whatever it was, the most miserable 2-3 days of my life, the club owner said, you know, we promised you $20,000. That was your guarantee. It's in paper. It's on paper. We made 15. Can you help us out? And now it's called a guarantee.
Yeah.
Guarantee means, hey, look, I get $20,000 for getting on an airplane.
Right.
And, you know, you win some. By the way, when you make a whole bunch more, you don't, I mean, I get some of it. But what I'm saying is you don't tip me out,
right.
You know.
Right.
You guys didn't do a very good job promoting this, and your club's in a bad neighborhood. But he said the guarantee is 20. We made 15. And I said, all right, 17.5. Meet you in the middle. And I went home. And never thought about it again, except for to bring
I would have. I think this is all self-esteem stuff. I would have gone, okay, 10.
Well, he was at 15. They made 15.
I know. I would have wanted them to make some money.
They made. They're good at 15.
Okay.
So you know, it doesn't make me nice. I don't know. Makes me fair. I think. I mean, if you look up the definition of guarantee, I had a guarantee.
No, I understand. I get.
And I'm wired that way. I'm fine with everybody who is fine with me and strangers especially and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not nice when I ask for something repeatedly and it doesn't go down that way, especially when that thing is fairly straightforward and not for me half the time.
So let's go back to why.
And I'll tell you why I turned to an asshole.
Oh, you are an asshole.
Yeah.
Ah.
I turned to an asshole because I realized very quickly. You see, Ray thinks I'm an asshole because Ray feels the brunt of what I know. I know what it takes to have success. And then when people come up to me and go, hey, I found another building, but I don't, you know, I'm not good with the down, but I need you as a co-signer. And I just think to myself, the reason I'm being an asshole now is because 15 years ago, I said to you, wake up. Let me help you. Let me tell you how to take care of this stuff. Not because I'm interested in changing you as a human being, but so that you don't need to come to me and ask for me to co-sign
but
for things
why
at that age.
Why be an asshole now? Why not have pity on him and just be dismissive?
Well, I don't know what you'd rather have as a coach, a friend, or a neighbor, pity and dismissive.
You'd feel bad for him. Like, oh, man, you fucked up. You've been languishing 15 years. I'm sorry. On you, Ben.
I don't feel bad. Well, I don't feel bad for these people. I feel like the person who said to many of these people, look, here's what. I built myself a castle. I put a wall around it. And then I said to them, hey, the flood shall be coming soon. And let me show you how to build your house up on stilts so that you can avoid the flood and store roots and food. And I'll show you how to can food. Quiet. Let me show you. And they went, hey, man, I'm partying over here. I'm having a good time. It's Three Little Pigs, you know?
It's Three Little Pigs, right.
I'm having a good time. Yeah. And then I went down from there. But every year I'd make the pilgrimage down from the hill going, let me show you. This is going to happen. Let me teach you. I, by the way, who've been my home ruined by floods 10 times.
Right.
So I've learned.
Right.
I know the hard way.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you. So let me help you build.
Yeah.
I'll help you. Fuck off. I got my own way of doing it. And after about 20 of those, when the flood hits and they're clawing at my gate, I almost look at it as this is how it needs to be.
See, I would feel angry that they didn't listen.
Yes.
And then very sad for them.
No, I'm not.
You don't get to the sad part.
I don't. No. See. Where's the sad part come in?
That they didn't listen to you, that they end up with horrible consequences. That's sad. That's human tragedy. That's how tragedy happens.
I'll tell you, but here's the problem. I made 20 trips into the village and wasted a lot of Sundays. That's the part that makes me angry.
You know,
it's a lot of time.
Yeah, as a physician, I'm just relating a similar feeling where, somebody, I'm like on them, take this medicine. No, I know better. Shit goes down. Now I'm pissed. I am pissed. I'm like, hey, you didn't listen to me when I told you. And then here's the irony from the physician role. They're pissed at me.
Oh, yeah.
Something happened.
Absolutely, yeah. They're pissed at you.
Yeah.
But I'm pissed, and I don't feel a sense of whatever because they wasted a bunch of my time.
So hold on. So here's what I do when I get myself in that situation, which is stunning how often doctors are stuck in that situation. I think to myself, could I have communicated what they needed to have done 10 years ago when they didn't? Could I have communicated that differently in such a way as to get them to change their behavior? Do you ever do that step?
No. I don't do that step because I try to treat people as if they're adults.
Yeah.
And English-speaking adults. And that I don't come and scream at people, here's what you got to do. I just go, here's the way, here's what you should do, here's how it's going to work. But look, we were, look, I mean, true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, remember when I told this great story about Telepictures fucking me over royally?
Yes.
Just royally.
Yeah.
Just insanely dry-fisted $500,000 out of my pocket, just royally. Yeah. Well, they came calling again and wanted to do something else. Well, what should my reaction be?
I'm sorry
for them?
No, I wouldn't get angry at them.
I would
just say no.
No, yeah. As if we'd never had a transaction where they fucked me out of
$500,000. No, I would say, well, hell, I don't want to.
No, as if I've never met them before.
If a dog bit me and then that dog came around again, I'd be like, boop, boop. I wouldn't get mad at the dog. I'd just not be around that dog.
Well, that's a dog.
What? All right.
This is a human being. These are human beings with brains.
You
that
expect
are advanced.
More people, evidently.
Expect
that's,
more?
That's your mistake.
Not to get fucked?
But you're angry with them for coming back around?
No, I'm not angry for them coming back around, but my answer is not a polite, I've got some other projects going right now.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I say good day to you.
Oh, it's, hey, think back a year or so when you fucked me out of $500,000. Think about that and shove it up your ass.
Is there a way they can make that right?
No.
Okay.
Then give me $500,000. Then we can talk. But that's not going to happen.
Right.
I know that part's not going to happen.
Right.
I used to be nice, and I still am nice to those who are nice. And
that we could distill that down to your kids.
No.
No? Not even them?
No, I'm nice. I'm exceedingly nice to them. But
and by the way, nice isn't necessarily a virtue.
No, it's not.
Okay.
My dad's nice. My mom's nice.
That's what I'm saying.
They're worthless.
Okay. So
no,
you're defensive about this.
No, here's how I am. I am nice the first two rounds. And then I get dicky. I've told you a million times. Being nice the third time is not being... You're not doing yourself or anybody else. I say, my daughter does it all the time. She says, I want to go swimming. She said it last night. I want to go swimming. No, Natalia, we're sitting down for dinner right now. Olga says she to ask you. And I, well, the answer is no. We're going to eat right now. I want to, but mommy said I can. No, we're eating right now. Mama, Natalia, sit down and eat. That's how it goes. So it's, here's nice, here's why you can't do this, then it's a slightly ratchet up. But I don't want the sixth time with my daughter be, honey, sweetie, boo-boo pie, you can't go into the nice water because, but don't worry, the sixth time is shut the fuck up and sit down, do what the fuck I told you to do, and that's what people need. They need that. You being nice is not doing them a favor the sixth time they fuck something up. Get it?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's just go ahead and translate this into wartime. People die if you fuck up things. You know what I mean? There's instructions. There's drill. You got your DI. Look, I don't want to get over dramatic here, but here's how it works. You know, you're a pilot, you're a chopper pilot, you're or whatever it is. You know, goggles on, radar sights up. Never take your 50 caliber machine gun and arm it before you put the radar sight. Always radar sight up. Well, how many times are you going to let them fuck that one up?
Yeah.
Before you start fucking screaming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying everything's life and death, but I'm just saying there's just certain things in life are going to be easier if they run certain ways. And I bring up stuff, like I said, I turn into a dick the third time. That's my thing. First time, nice. Second time, not as nice. Third time, little dicky.
So let's circle back to changing bullying. That's really what we're talking about. And you're saying we shouldn't. We should allow a certain amount of it. I think people will love that.
Well, first off, we can't call everything bullying like we call everything rape, like we call everyone a racist and homophobic. Because if everyone is racist and homophobic and everything's a bully and everything's rape, then it loses all meaning. And we don't have parameters anymore. We have to have parameters.
So what is rape?
Rape is unconsensual sex. But when you tell me that, you know, 40% of women will be raped before their 20th birthday, I have problems with those statistics because that means they're counting grabbed a booby in a swimming pool on a 16th birthday.
Well, but listen, oh, geez, we're going to go on this path. But
well, you're the one who said
no,
what's right.
But here's the deal. It's emotionally significant to a woman doesn't mean it's legally significant.
Well,
and we could still let's say it's an important thing.
State of California, sex while intoxicated.
Rape.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's one thing that's probably not rape. Now, she's passed out, unconscious.
But that's where all that shit goes down, where people misinterpret things and women have these experiences that they experience as problematic. And the guy's wasted and doesn't know she's wasted and doesn't see the signals.
Look, I think, though, we can decide when you'll kind of know it when you hear it. And the same with bullying. Not everything is bullying.
All right.
Not every
slippery slope.
Not everything is bullying. Like I said, my son said he was bullied because he was talking and the kid put his fingers in his own ears. My son said he was bullied for that. That's not bullying.
Right.
And I don't mind a certain amount of bullying because I don't mind a certain amount of grit being put upon
grit stuff
these
is getting
kids.
Lots of traction out there. And somebody brought
everything I bring up will get a lot of traction.
You know, listen,
but I won't get credit for it. It'll be some months after.
Mike Cathwood, who I do Loveline with, brought it up spontaneously without knowing that you were advocating. Well, they used the word grit out of the blue.
They start writing articles and things about
it. No, he said it was something he had, maybe in the vapors, you may not be aware of.
Yeah, it's in the vapors. But, probably. I mean.
But that's interesting, isn't it?
Not for me. I mean, not trying to be a dick, but look, I bring up dogs on airplanes. We'll have a problem with dogs on airplanes. I brought up passion fruit iced tea and passion fruit. Now passion fruit is in every shampoo, every yogurt, every air freshener. It's everywhere.
I think we passed it. We were moving past that storm, the passion fruit storm.
Or is it ubiquitous now?
It's ubiquitous, and so we're going to move on. It's saturated.
10 years ago, when I brought it up,
oh yeah, no,
it didn't exist.
No, I know. People didn't know what you were talking about. They didn't see it the way.
10 years ago, I was screaming, "Who likes this shit? Why does it have to be in our iced tea?
I remember
what's
people going
on?
Passion fruit. Maybe in Hawaii. Maybe is that something? Remember that?
It's literally people tweet me passion fruit. Conditioner and shampoo. Now.
Oh, yeah. But my question is, hang on, why are we wired to bully? Why does this happen in kids spontaneously and almost without exception? Or let's not even call it bullying.
There is a pack mentality.
Right. So is it to get compliance with the social pack, get people part of the group?
Well, it's a little pack and a little mob. And so if there's...
Oh, that's interesting.
If there's...
Difference between a pack and a mob.
Well, there's not much.
Yeah.
A pitchfork, a torch, an agenda. A pack is people hanging around. A mob is hanging around with an agenda. But...
Right. The pack is going inward. The mob is going outward.
Oh, so when you're hanging around a group, when you're just with a group of people, and somebody... And you just sort of... It's just a group of males, particularly, most likely.
Yeah.
You have a group of males, right? And your group of males says, so you're sitting around and you're sort of worried that you're going to get singled out or you're going to get judged or you're going to get picked on or you're going to get something because there's a group of males that pose a threat. Someone could hurt you. Somebody could do something to you. So somebody says... Hey, look at Max Pat over there and his Asian weirdness. And everyone, and then you realize, oh, that's an opportunity for nobody to focus on me and my Brillo hat.
Oh.
You see? Look at it. Yeah, that's right. Look at him.
All right, so
look
at that. But now everyone makes you cohese with the rest.
Yeah. So everyone kind of jumps on that.
Okay, so listen. So what would you say was the ultimate version of that? Where does that go?
I think the bullying.
No. I think the ultimate expression, you're on a different path. I think the ultimate expression of that is we're looking up at a pyramid and tearing somebody's heart out.
You know what
I'm saying? That's the ultimate expression of that.
Yeah.
Or we're putting somebody on a guillotine and we're sitting around watching that.
Right. But I think.
Isn't that right? We direct all our aggression over there, but not at me. We're part of the group, so we're safe.
No, listen, when the aforementioned Chris and Ray would walk into the bathroom during school hours at North Hollywood High, and they would say to me, come on. Like Chris would say, Ray's in there. I'm going to go get him. Come on. And I would say, no, I'm not coming in there. Because the last time I went in there, we walked in to go get Ray. And Ray looked at Chris and said, what are we bothering with me for? Let's get Brillo head. And then Chris would turn around and look at me, and I'd go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Now I'm in. They've convinced the mob has now turned.
Yeah, that's how dangerous it
was going to be me and Chris against Ray.
Yeah.
Now Ray's convinced Chris it's going to be him and Chris. Thank God they're both 215 pounds of striated muscle against me. And then the fight brought, now it was time to do battle.
Time to run.
You could try. Try to run. Yeah. All right. Let's
talk about Doc Gooden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him wandering around here. Dwight Doc Gooden. Remember him? Mets superstar. 3 World Series rings. Rookie of the Year. Cy Young Award winner.
Now, hold on. The reason you saw him walking around here is because he was on the Dr. Drew podcast. And which episode is that, Gary?
We'll figure it out.
And he is promoting his book, which is a memoir called Doc.
Yeah.
He chronicles not only the horrific experience he had with drug addiction and some crazy stuff, episode 72 at DrDrew.com, some crazy shit where he was loaded. He missed the parade after the World Series, where he was supposed to be on the, you know, on the throne on a float, and he's watching on TV doing blow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he chronicles what happened in Celebrity Rehab too, and how grateful he was for the chance to get well, and how doing it in front of people, how doing it publicly like that affected him positively. Which
well,
was interesting.
This guy was like sleeping under bridges, right?
Yeah, it got bad.
I mean, he
it got bad.
Bottomed out in a serious way.
But it went on for a long time.
Well, it is it's called Doc. It's brutally honest, and it is out as we speak. And get it from Amazon.com. And let's not forget to click through the banner at AdamCarolla.com/Adam.
No.
And Drew.
Oh, is that it? Oh, really? Say that again.
I have to.
Yes, because I shit must. On it.
What?
I beg your pardon. I was reading up
There's
here.
There's nothing out of range.
Yeah, I know there isn't.
For your asshole.
There isn't. My asshole? Or assholeness?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. But look, here's what it is saying to me. AdamCarolla.com/AdamAndDrew. And you get Doc's Doc. Because it is kind of a doc. It's interesting. It's a book, but it's a documentary in terms of it's written. It's a written word documentary. All right, quick break. Right back with your phone calls after this.
Allison Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison Rosen. I wanted to tell you about an exciting format change on Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Mondays, I sit down with guests like YouTube superstar Shane Dawson or Mad Men's Kevin Rahm or Bob Saget or conservative pundit Mary Catherine Hamm. And then on Thursdays, I sit down with my coworkers, Gary, Matt, and Chris, and we answer your questions and get into arguments about important stuff like whether purple Skittles are disgusting, which I think they are. Join in the fun Mondays and Thursdays. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Yeah. All right.
So hold on. Mm. So Adam and I have this habit of continuing our conversations wherever we go, mm-hmm. including into the latrine while I'm trying to take a piss, mm-hmm. and driving wherever. We just do this. That's what we do. I wonder if the people around here think it's weird. But
Matt was just saying that there's no way he'd be able to pee with Adam standing halfway in the door.
Not halfway in the door. He was. I could feel his leg against my ass. He was up against me.
As my leg. My third leg. I was poking you in the back.
That's what I meant. I thought it was your leg, but okay. I didn't want to be too crude about this. But yes, and so we're having a conversation. I thought nothing of it. But here's what stayed with me. This is why I wanted to bring it up. Do you understand that people are scared of you sometimes? A lot of the time?
No.
Most of the time?
No.
Can you accept that if I tell you that that's true?
Yeah, I can accept that, and I can see.
That's where Lynette's sort of, extra cautious. You know, she gets a little bit. I understand she creates the situation. I don't argue with that because it's the third time always where the fear starts to come up. Had she listened to step one, no fear. Granted, but people do get afraid of you.
No,
gentlemen, fear, a little fear. Gary.
No.
Gary?
I don't care. Look, listen.
I'm not afraid of Adam, but it's just he's my boss, so I don't want to upset my boss. That's the only.
I can't hear you, Gary.
Oh, sorry.
I don't mind a little fear. Look, I've had this discussion with my wife before.
Yeah.
Where I've said to her something for back in the day, we'd do something for like the 25th time. There's like a bar room that's like outside the house and detached from the house and
downstairs.
Just sort of downstairs and just sort of off and away.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I'd go down there, every once in a blue moon, someone would come over and they'd say, yeah, let me see the bar room over there. And I'd go down there and there'd be cobwebs everywhere and it'd smell, it'd be all musty and dank and blah, blah, blah. And I would tell Lynette, look, I'm not telling you to do it, but you got to tell the cleaning lady twice a month, go down there, air it out, get rid of the cobwebs so that when I do spontaneously show somebody, it's not all dank and whatever. And this went on for years and years and years of just going down there. It's just a mess, cobwebs, dank, whatever. And I had to say, hey, you have to do it. You have to tell someone to do it. You don't have to do it yourself, although that'd be fine and nice. But you got to tell whoever's at the house doing whatever they're doing, write it down on your calendar twice. I don't know, like if you had an old car and someone said, twice a month you have to start it up and let it run for 10 minutes. Let's put it on your calendar. And she never would do it. And it got to the point where we were arguing a lot about it. And at a certain point, she said to me, "You scare me. I'm scared of you." And I said, "No, you're not."
Yes, she is.
Shut up. I said, "No, you're not scared of me." And she said, "I am." And I said, "If you were scared, the bar wouldn't have cobwebs and it would be aired out. That's what scared people do. When you have a stepfather that you're scared of and he says, hey, man, you know, I come home, you know, he's the great Santini and that room's not made up somewhere around the 25th time. You have that room. If you're truly scared
you,
of
you
that.
You do it, but then you spend a lot of time thinking about how to fuck with him, how to get around him, how to do it, how
but
to
you
fight
do
the
it.
Man. You
oh,
do
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, 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 you do it. But no,
then you
I,
get passive-aggressive.
I, you're right, right, but this wasn't doing it.
Maybe they've already graduated to passive-aggressive.
Okay. If you're scared, like I said, if you're scared of somebody, you tend to do it. Now, I think it gets trotted out as an excuse sometimes. As far as being the boss goes, there has to be a little fear. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree with that.
That's the way
we'll throw that under respect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Do you know I'm afraid of you?
Now I'm starting to realize maybe you are because I think what you're doing is you're transferring your fear onto everyone else's. You do a lot of
no.
Crafting.
I'm an anxious person. But listen. I'm not afraid of you. But I can appreciate that people would be.
Hold on a second. In fact,
I think I'm the only person that's not afraid of you. In reality.
Look. First off, my wife is not afraid of me. If my wife was afraid of me, she would not act how she acts with me. That's not how people that are afraid of me.
I thought she's not more horrified of you. She's not terrified of you. She's just afraid of triggering anger. Afraid of triggering you. How about that?
No.
Afraid of your aggression.
No. I've said to her, we've had 1,000 topics where I've said to her 1,000 times, I need you to do this. Please help me with my calendar. I have a calendar. I need you to help me keep my calendar. I have a crazy schedule. Well, crazy schedule. Yeah. And I'm killing myself. But what you can do is you can keep my calendar for me. I've had that conversation 37 times. It's not scared of me. Scared of me. Just keep the calendar. That's how it would work. It's scared.
All right.
All right.
Good times.
No, I'm just saying it's not fearful.
Saying.
It may be a lot of different things. It's not no one's scared of me.
No one's scared of you? Well,
look,
Chris and Ray aren't scared of you.
Look, you are grafting this. This is a topic that never came up before you showed up to this place. You look at it as shut up. You look at it as I am
I bring it up
because
I'm watching people scurry around. Like it's funny. I'm not afraid of you.
Scurry around.
They're afraid to tell you they're afraid.
Well, that's the great argument.
Gary, be honest.
I'm afraid of angering Adam.
Thank you.
I believe Lynette is too.
Thank you.
I spend half of
You're
my day,
fired.
I spend half of my day trying to not anger Adam and worrying about angering him
in
the Adam Carolla
show. It's not good when he gets angry.
No,
but that's my job.
I am paid
I argue it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing either.
No, I'm not saying that either. Yeah. I'm just exploring it.
I'm with you. I think
you're
right, Drew.
Okay. That's all.
Right. All right.
That's all.
Lynette does not worry as much about that. She may say she does.
No, she actually has not said that. But
your actions speak louder than your words. What I'm saying is this. You throw a party.
Yeah.
And your parents, you get a phone call from your parents. They're at the airport. Oh, we took an earlier flight, hon. We'll be home in an hour. The place is a mess. You scurry around cleaning up, throwing away beer cups, emptying things, straightening out the garbage fast as you can, right?
Bowling pins out of there.
Get the bowling pins out of there. All right. Why? Scared mom and dad are going to come home, find out you had a party while they're out of town.
Yeah.
But if you get that phone call in the house with the beer can strewn everywhere, hey, we're home. We took an earlier flight. We'll be home an hour. And you go, okay, I'm going to play some Tetris. And you sit down and turn on the computer. Would that person be scared? Is that person scared?
Not terrorized, that's for sure.
Is that person scared that the person is going to come home? No, the scared person scurries to clean up the house before mom and dad come home. The unscared person says, I'm going to watch some TV.
I understand the point. Do you mind this conversation? Because I have one more place to go.
I don't mind it. It's probably going to get me in trouble when I get home. No, but I don't mind it, but I'm saying that's not fearful.
Okay, but here's what I did discover is she has said. Well, she didn't say it. We recognize it. Is that she adores you and wants more from you.
Yes.
Positive.
Yes.
And can't get enough. And same with your kids. And so when the angry and stuff comes in, it's extra deflating. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's all. That's all I'm saying. That's it.
Yeah. Extra deflating.
Well, because you really like that person. You really want good from them. You want more from them. And then they come at you with stuff. And yes, it may be her fault. Yes, maybe she can change it. And she's trying to, I think, isn't she?
Yeah,
you've said she's really doing better with all of the stuff that you want.
It's not, you know, listen, my problems, my arguments with my wife have basically been this in a nutshell. It's not stuff that I want. It is our world, you know.
To make it better.
It's our stuff. Yeah. I'm going to go out on the road and try to kill myself. You're going to take care of the calendar. So I can go out on the road.
I think she is feeling.
And that'll be the money then will be brought home and split.
Am I
it'll
right,
be used
though,
for all the stuff that
I've
is
heard
used
her,
around here.
I've heard her say, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but that she is more collaborative these
yes.
days. She does understand that you give her and the kids a amazing life and shows appreciation of that. But yep. maybe
yes.
not enough. Maybe not enough.
Well, to me, it's not about showing the appreciation. It's the appreciation through the action.
Okay, I don't think she knows that.
Okay.
No, I don't think she gets that. I don't think she gets that. Just FYI, whatever.
All right.
But that's good. That's good to know that. Maybe she can hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So don't appreciate by saying I appreciate it. Show appreciation by supporting it so I can keep doing it.
Yes. Huh? I've said Mangria is a joint venture. You own half of the business. It'll quiet. But you are going to have to go to the website. Maybe even daily, but only for 5 minutes and make sure that the events are in order. If I'm going to go do an event, it's going to have to be on the website.
And if
you have to check it.
And if you do that, I'll know you really appreciate what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's the piece you miss.
Okay. I'm not dealing with special needs children.
You're also not dealing with one of your buddies. You're dealing with.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But I'm saying. This is a great opportunity and a great venture.
You're not wrong.
All right. And you will. Yes. All right. I shall add that part.
Okay.
I shall add that part. All right. That's now look. No time for phone calls.
I know. Take a couple.
Mm-hmm. But, Drew, in a world where you're constantly saying to me, look, leave everyone alone. Nobody.
I'm saying that to you?
Yes. Yes. Nobody changes. That's the way they do things.
No, I'm saying don't have an aneurysm because people don't change. Be careful. You're expecting too much of people. Sometimes.
No, I'm not.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Maybe not Lynette. Lynette can do it.
Lynette has changed.
Look at the Asian guy over there. Sort of Asian guy.
Dramatically and is doing a great job. And
you've had to put a real effort into bringing
her. I have.
Home. Okay. And it's worth it. It's a marriage. It's a collaborative thing.
Yes.
I'm not saying wasting that energy on everybody is good. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I'm doing it for them.
I understand. This is back to the Noah's Ark.
Listen, you can ask Matt over there. You can ask the Porcelain Punisher. Half the conversations I have with him are just motivational, not to do with me, just life motivational speeches.
No, I know. You're very good at that. I understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. Not telling him what he can do for me. All right. What do you got? Virginia? Oh, no. Virgin. Sorry. New York.
Ooh.
Social person. 25.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Peter?
Hello?
What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Our pleasure.
What's up?
Still a virgin?
I am.
Are you religious?
No.
All right. Trouble?
Why are you a virgin, I guess is what Adam's asking.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because I'm not, I have friends. I'm not a, like, unsocial person. I think I clearly have trouble talking to women, but I also, maybe I'm like a little insecure about my looks. I'm not ugly, but I look younger than
I
am.
Do you date women?
No, I've never been on a date.
Do you get stuck in the friend zone a lot?
Yes and no. I mean, I would say I don't really have any close friends that are women. Most of my close friends are guys.
So he needs to learn how to date, bottom line.
Yeah. Well, with the computer now, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it used to be if you were shy and up in your head and whatever, insecure about your looks or your whatever, you'd have to literally go up to someone at a bar and tap them on the shoulder. And that was that was just really below a bar fight. Like, in terms of anxiety level.
Right.
Now you can do whatever you want online.
That's true.
Here's the thing, though, Peter. And here's what I would suggest. I know Dr. Drew will back me up wholeheartedly here. You cannot start talking people's ears off about, you know, this is my first date. Don't expect me. I'm a virgin. And I'm blah, blah, blah.
I don't
have any experience. And it's not. And if I don't pull your chair out, it's not because I'm being rude. It's just because I've never done this before. Leave. Whatever you were in the past, let's just take it from here. You are a 25-year-old. You live in a metropolitan city, and let's just pretend you had – and I'm not saying make up a person, but let's pretend you had a high school girlfriend. Let's pretend you did a little dating in college.
Act as if we call
and
that.
And then when you show up, it's not your first rodeo.
Yeah.
But won't I – how do I fake it if it is my first rodeo? Like, let's say I get
by
to that
not,
point.
By not being nervous and chattering, by not doing a thing where, you know, it's basically you're doing an audition, you know, and you want to get in the Philharmonic, and you got your saxophone out, and the board is sitting in front of you. While you're getting your saxophone out, you don't go, you know, it's a little bit rusty. I haven't played in a little while. It's been a little while now. I've played a little high school. Where's my valve oil? I don't have valve oil. Anyway, so some of this might be a little bit sticky. The reed's a little bit old. Anyway, I'm going to play something. I'm no bird over here. It's probably not going to sound like you're used to it. Don't lay all that out.
And by the way, that only works if it's ironic, like you pick it up and kill with the saxophone afterwards.
The board that's looking to see if you're going to be in the Philharmonic is now got you off the list before you fucking played your first note.
Yeah.
Don't go in with that. Just play your ass off.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
That's right.
Boy, what a picture.
Yeah.
I scare myself with my words.
I know.
Scared of my own words.
They're such genius.
Lucas?
It's frightening.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
Nothing. Huge fan. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Says you're a medical student. What year are you?
I just finished my first year.
Those first 2 years, they're grueling, but they're fun. They are fun. It gets much.
If you say so.
No. Listen, because your life will not be your own starting year three until you finish your residency. It's just you disappear, you die, and you just sit in the hospital for the whole time. But anyway, what's happening?
So I have dating this girl. We've been dating for quite some time. Met in college.
Oh.
And you know she's a year older than I am. She's 26, going to be 27. Kind of. Clock's ticking a little bit, and she's just kind of like fed up with the whole student thing, and I'm having a really hard time with her. I mean, it seems like we have the same conversation every 2 or 3 months.
Well, she's out of college. She's working.
Yeah, she's a pharmacist.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. But Lucas, this is going to
go. Crazy nationality?
Well, she's Indian.
Huh. What a shocker. What do I know? Let's get lucky with my guesses.
I like the way Adam considers the 2 billion people crazy. Crazy, what rare nationality.
Look, Lucas is calling from what state?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
When you see a guy calling from Wisconsin, you just think bangs and white and blonde hair, right?
You know, it's a quick funny story. We on Loveline with Catherwood and I, we had this guy from Ohio call in. He goes, I had this girlfriend. She was amazing. She was Chinese. She treated me good. She was beautiful. And she went back to China. Where am I ever going to find another Chinese woman? And we were like, oh, my God, come to Southern California. Jesus.
Yeah. Go to UCLA.
But listen,
there's no such thing as a pharmacist. There's no Anglo-pharmacist anymore. Those days are gone. They're gone.
Lucas, here's the deal. It's going to get a lot worse, a lot worse. This is the time. First year is when you, believe it or not, when you actually have time, believe it or not. I know it seems hard to believe, but trust me.
No. They kick your ass.
They do. And this girl, she's not going to see you for days at a time. Forget coming home and having to hit the books. You're not going to be out of the hospital for days.
How long have you guys been going out?
We've been going out for like 4 years.
All right.
I don't think it's going to. Careful. Here, one other thing I'll tell you. Every single union, every single boyfriend, girlfriend, every single marriage that started our class in medical school did not finish. 100%. All the marriages broke up. All the girlfriends broke up. 100% of my class. So tells you what to expect, Lucas, I think you're in that category.
He's younger. Her time.
You change a lot with the training, too.
All right. I want to thank everyone. I want to tell everyone that they can click through the Amazon link if they're going to Amazon. They're going to get something and support us. AdamandDrewShow.com.
Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
I always screw that up. Yeah. I don't know why I screw it up every time. I think it's because I announce I screw it up every time.
Yeah.
Also, doesn't cost you a thing. What? Looking at a note here from Gary, but I'm not sure why.
No.
Why are you writing that note, Gary?
No, keep going.
Okay. Anyway, Adam and Drew reunion tour that was cut up nicely by Chris Maxipata. It's highlights first three shows, Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver, all available on iTunes, and you can get AdamCarolla.com as well, and you can hear us for under $5, so why not? So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew and Chris Maxipata and Gary... Put him at 7/16 star. Oh, no, wait, that's less. I'm going up. 9/16 star. Saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.